How you guys making out with the coronavirus? You guys all right?
My peoples.
I know. Dude, so I've been tracking it a little bit. Like kind of for shits and giggles. I got to sit down Saturday. Then I'm going to do a think about it if I can come up with enough information because it is affecting the producing areas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Didn't Fans Toys
has made a public post, and I believe there are a few others that it is affecting because most of the factories seem to be in the same general area. There's like two areas. It seems like I'm no expert, Joe. So don't give me being the one to tell you about your like. Oh yeah, you're gonna fucking tell me about China, are you? Well, let me sit down and take notes.
It's affecting a huge portion of China.
Correct.
Like, it's not like one city.
Well, it's affecting
a lot of quarantines, and
it's affecting even some rappers in America. You know, Busta Rhymes. You know, he had to he remade his song in Wuhan. I got you all in China.
Yes. Also, it's becoming known as the Kung Flu.
Yes.
And there's also the famous meme that I circulated or helped circulate around with imagine getting jumped by four Chinese guys, and one of them says, "Cough on them."
Yeah. My actual people are getting fucked over.
What do you mean, your actual people?
Hong Kong people.
Okay.
Like, borders are closed everywhere, but yes. not to Hong Kong.
We have allocated four quarantined buildings, military buildings here, I saw as well.
Yeah, so like nurses, like hospital staff in Hong Kong are going on strike because they won't fucking, Chinese people won't stop coming down.
Did you see how quick they threw up that hospital, though? In Wuhan? They built a hospital in like 3 weeks.
Oh, really?
It's all modular stuff. Yeah. It's crazy how quick they built it.
You did it?
Yeah, we did it. Hey, some of the time frames I work with, I probably could have pulled it off.
So there's 11 people dead or affected. No, I'm sorry.
In the States?
In the States.
Yeah.
Six of which I believe are in California, which I guess makes sense. I've been watching
a high traveled area to worry about.
There has been more people that have recovered from it than have died from it.
Yeah.
Almost 100 people
more. It's like a bad flu. You know, in comparison, like you won't die from the flu unless you're weak.
You got some
in
other
general.
Shit going on, yeah.
Or you're just unlucky. That there are young, like 22-year-olds that randomly die from the flu. But,
I saw something on the.
It's a respiratory flu, isn't it? I believe so. Yeah. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's a respiratory thing.
That the number of people that die annually in America from the flu.
Yeah, it's like 10,000.
Yeah, it's more than that. One study I saw, it was like 60,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that's probably people with compromised immune systems,
older people, kids,
people with, you know, diseases that.
Cancer.
Just
cancer
something to get the freeway moving a little faster each day.
Yep.
I
should stop promoting flu shots.
You should.
The other thing I was going to mention is that we do have our first confirmed in the States person to person.
Transmission, but it's family though, right?
Yes, it was a husband was over there and was like, I better get back home. Came back home and was like, I probably should stay inside for a while. And the wife has now got the symptoms, but she went to the doctor's office. He stayed locked in. So, you know.
Yeah, there's still fucking people traveling over there for some god awful reason.
My company actually put out a travel advisory not to go to China.
Yeah,
even for, you know,
because I see people coming in the pharmacy asking me to buy a mask or whatever because they're going over there. What can I do to prevent it? I'm like, don't go.
You know what I say? I'd love to see the Great Wall as well, but right now let's just stay home and have some great halls, eucalyptus. You know what I mean?
And the masks, oh man, dude, we sold them out on the first fucking day.
Oh,
they're
I
like
have no
gold.
Doubt.
The people are just, it's like the whole bread and milk thing when it's fucking raining hard.
Cough drop of choice.
Halls.
Which one?
Well, as a,
the cherry.
As
cherry?
A candy or as a.
As no, as a preventing you from coughing all day long.
Sip of cough.
Or overnight. Sip of cough.
Mm.
I like.
Pharmacist talk. I like it.
I like Sucrates.
Yeah, Sucrates are pretty
good. I like cigarettes.
Dude, cigarettes, same.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of cough.
Definitely is a different kind of cough.
Let's see.
Phlegmy, deep. The first, dude, that was what bothered me, like, when I used to smoke. It's like, the first thing in the morning, Luger. Holy crap, that wad of yellow.
Just clear it
green.
Out. Human Woo! Jello. Get it out of here. I have a lot to talk about today, in general. But I'll tell you, I had a comment hurt my feelings this week.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah. I mean,
you're so thick skin now, though.
Yeah. No, I had to get over it, you know, and I don't, I think, you know why I think it hurt?
Why?
Because I don't think it was inaccurate.
Oh, well, that's always the ones, right? You're like, I resemble that.
So let me go ahead and break the ice with that one. And then,
which video was on?
So I can't say because it gave away.
Oh, okay.
Um, But I think it'll, I'll break the ice with that one, and then we'll get into your guys' nerd weeks, and I'll come back, because I got a lot to talk about. But it was on the oil rig diorama one.
Okay.
Which is not my favorite, right, that I've done. And I'm,
you said that.
In the video,
that.
I'm like, I'm very critical of it. Yeah. It didn't turn out the way I envisioned.
Even when we look at it over there, you're like, hey, that's not that's not the one to look at.
Yep. And this guy was like, stop putting up videos about your elementary ass dioramas. Save those type of videos for the professionals. Learn a few lessons before you make something like this again.
Oh my God.
And I was like,
did you ask him where his diorama
was? Well,
Bobby, I didn't really know how to say that to you.
So
I created a profile.
So I almost like I went through this like plethora of emotion, right? At first I was hurt.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, come on, man. I'm out here fucking trying. You know, you don't even have any fucking skin in this game. That's what bothers me, I think, is when people have criticisms and fucking shit and you ain't got no skin in the game.
Exactly.
You know,
that's the thing that bugs me about when somebody's like, like my John Wick car. Well, did you make the doors open and detail? Yeah. Why didn't you do that? Really? Yeah.
It's like, where's your car?
Where's your John Wick car?
So I wanted to be like, yeah, well, I know a fucking professional. And you ever heard of a little company called Mezco? So like that was where my brain went next. And then my next, so I guess it was sadness, defense,
and anger,
and then anger. And my next one, I wanted to say, oh yeah, well, why don't you? It's terrible. In my head, I was like, this is how you should comment. Why don't you watch a little Pornhub before you come over here, before you suck my dick?
That's quality right there.
Yes.
From behind.
And then I moved on to my acceptance phase, where I was like, you know, he's right. You know, if he didn't look at anything else I've done,
mm-hmm.
which I'm proud of a lot of the things I've done. Not most, but a fair amount of the minority I'm proud of. But he's right. That is a poor performance in that regard. There are some good things about it. I think the sky is done well. I think the water's done well. I think that the platform is generally done well. But everything else about it, I'm just as critical of it as he is.
Yeah, but I don't think it's bad.
It's not.
It's not a professional. It's not great, but like it functions. Like,
it functions.
Like most people don't make anything.
Yeah. You but whatever. Yeah. You know. You know. Hopefully,
it's like I'm always good with constructive criticism.
Yes.
No, but when it's just like your shit is trash.
Yes. That's a little hurtful, isn't it?
It's like that doesn't help anybody.
Well, it doesn't help anybody, and once again, it's not an. It's hard for somebody to appreciate what you did if they're not educated in how you did it. That process, you're showing them.
Right, but I'm not really educating in that one, you know, because I'm just kind of talking about the process. But what I am saying there, I think there is something, like there is a greater good to that video where, I mean, and I'm going to save one of these pats on my back for you, don't worry, but like, there is a greater good there where I am saying, look, I did this, it didn't turn out the way I wanted. Take what I have done and learn from it to make something better.
Mm-hmm.
Learn from my mistakes is kind of the point of that, you know?
I mean, some of the best teachers are bad ones, and I don't mean that towards anybody. Yeah, I'm just saying, I've probably learned more from like bad bosses than I've ever learned from good bosses.
And I mean, so,
how
like,
not to be a bad boss.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think some of the best lessons are mistakes. You know, like that's where mm-hmm. I when I fuck up, I learn.
Yeah, I remember that.
Very quickly.
Yep.
Very quickly.
Absolutely.
So Chris, you arrived earliest. Joe, how was your nerd week?
Oh, well,
he got the coffee. You get the nerd.
That's
week.
Right.
Confused, switching things up on me.
Well, it's how I keep it balanced.
It's like Fox News in this bitch.
Yeah,
it's fair and balanced.
I didn't do too much because work. Oh, of course, like you're going to hear me say, I have a lot of work for the next at least 5 weeks now because they added another week last night.
Mm.
But I'm. Good. I'm getting monies and always good. Like I'm like, oh, I'm just looking forward to like when everything's like paid
balling?
Off and I have accumulated something, I'm like I'm buying something.
Were you balling and lifting weights?
What?
There's this super douchey guy I knew from high school and he has remained super douchey. I came across
those are the ones you love. Do you still live in your parents' house?
I came across his Facebook profile in the last couple of years and it was like activities, balling and lifting weights.
Oh my God.
And he's 30. He was 36 when he really.
No, it was probably 36, 37.
I'm not balling. Chris is balling. I'm lifting weights.
No, I'm not balling. Trust me.
Well, you were before you busted your knees. That's
not
doing
well,
it.
Well, that was a million years ago to me.
Yeah.
Seems like it.
That was okay.
It was last year, but nonetheless, it seems like a million years ago.
I went to play Dark Souls last night again.
Okay.
Board game. The friend that we're having D&D in
the
a while.
The D&D friend.
Yeah. So like he came to our house last time. We went to their house last time. Yeah. Yes. Last night played like fucking 5 hours of it.
Mm.
But maybe meeting again this Sunday or Sunday after next. But I love it. I love board games in general, and I love that franchise. So it's good.
Nice.
I was lifting weights.
Oh, and balling.
And balling. In my ball shorts. I was lifting with my ball shorts. And like YouTube's playing music, and it just got on this like movie theme role.
Okay.
So I want to ask you guys. Mm. I'm going to name some movies.
Okay.
I want to know if you know the song, can hum it. And okay. Tell me, it's easy, right? But tell me, good movie, good song, bad song.
Okay.
Your opinion.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited.
I think Disney doesn't count because...
Well, okay.
Yeah. Oh, Bodyguard, easy.
Well, I
mean...
The Whitney Houston song.
How's a song versus... Nice.
We'll
break it down.
Always love you. I like it. Yeah, she gets in her bag.
How's the movie? How's the song?
Bad movie, good song.
Okay movie. I haven't seen it, obviously.
I didn't know okay was an option.
Oh, is it good or bad? Is that...
No. It's option. Your opinion.
Okay.
Of the movie, your opinion of the song.
I agree. It's a fair movie.
And compared to each other, it's like the song is way better than the movie.
Song is way better than
the movie. I haven't seen that movie probably since it came out. Mm. I mean, it's nothing. I'm like, you know what? I really need to. I haven't watched The Bodyguard in a while. I can't say that's ever crossed my mind.
Yeah. I just remember him carrying her.
Is that an important movie?
Because of the song.
Not only because of the song, but because like I feel like it's like the first mainstream interracial, like if you think about it for its time.
Uh-huh.
I guess it would be. I never thought about it like that.
I didn't either. But you're, I think you're also, because right. It was the early 90s, right?
Yeah.
Also, shout out to Dolly Parton, because she wrote that and performed that song.
And shout out to her in general.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
She's a beast.
Yeah. Jolene, you know how I feel about that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
When I see her, like,
they should make more country music like that. Christopher, tell your friends.
They do. You just gotta find it. You gotta listen a little harder.
Listen harder.
I'll send you some stuff.
It's when R&B is. It's when country music has that soul and blues element to it that I fall for.
Chris Stapleton.
Okay.
Look him up.
Okay.
Yeah, you gotta curate some songs.
Jamie Johnson. Look him up.
Jamie Johnson definitely sounds like a country singer.
For sure.
He doesn't, but
Chris Stapleton sounds like one too. To be fair, or a pop singer.
Well, he actually did a song with Justin Timberlake. But his...
Was it In the Woods? Did they do it in the woods?
Is that the name of that album?
It was Justin Timberlake did an album called In the Woods.
Well,
Chris country
on that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. But his album Traveler is very good.
Okay. Nice. All right, next movie. Let's do it. I'm into this.
Next one. Well, you're responsible for this one.
Okay.
Set It Off.
Oh, there's so many.
The theme. Or like the main one.
So when I think of Set It Off, I think of Don't Let Go.
Yes.
You got the right to lose
yes, that
control.
One. In Vogue.
Don't Let Go.
Oh, the fucking... In Vogue song. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't catching it.
I think the movie is, once again, I think the movie is fair. I think the soundtrack as a whole is fantastic.
I don't think I ever saw that movie.
Yeah.
I saw it. It was
it's Bank Robbery or something.
Yeah. Four Chicks and
Queen Latifah. Yep. And Jada Pinkett.
You know it, but you don't know it. Right?
There was also that Set It Off on Your Left.
I was in the film industry, so I looked at these covers often as I was reshelving the movies.
It's a great trailer. The music video with them, and then it's sliced in with the...
In Vogue, man, in their prime, were amazing.
Did F. Gary Gray direct that?
Ooh, good question. That sounds right. He also did Friday. Did he do Friday?
He did the first Friday.
Okay.
And he's in Friday. Do you know what character he plays in the movie?
No.
It ain't even wet over there. Get your ass up. The guy that's mopping. That's it. But I'll settle out of court right now for $20.
My neck, my back. My neck and my back. I'm going to shoot for $20,000.
But I'll settle out of court right now for $20.
A dollar and some envelopes.
So much better song than movie. And the movie is okay.
Yeah, I think the movie is better than Bodyguard.
Really?
I do, personally. But I think the soundtrack shits on the Bodyguard soundtrack.
Because the only one from Bodyguard is the
lead single, yeah.
Yeah. Well, 8 Mile.
Oh, Mom Spaghetti, arms are heavy.
Yeah, there's vomit on my sweater. Yeah.
Fettuccine, linguine, beanie, zinini.
How do you feel about the song? How do you feel about the movie?
So I actually like the movie.
I like the movie, too.
I think it's a pretty good movie. There's one thing that fucking irritates the shit out of me about that movie. Clarence's parents' marriage, for one. I'm very jealous of his great marriage, of his parents. But more importantly, it made Shook Ones mainstream. Like
the beat?
Yeah.
I love that fucking beat.
Oh my God, it's one of the best rap beats ever made ever.
That and Quiet, so why is that? Quiet Storm.
Talk
you,
to me.
You put those on loop for like 4 hours, I'm good.
We did a Mobb Deep show on Bobby Boogie Bob, and
I don't, but hang on. I don't really like Mobb Deep, but I like those I love those tracks.
So I think you do like Mobb Deep. And I'll tell you why, because those two tracks are very indicative of their sound.
Yeah.
It's not like that's not an anomaly for them.
Right.
Like that's their pocket.
Right.
But that beat was like, it was kind of like either you knew it and you lived that era or you didn't. It was kind of like our thing, like our little private thing. And then after 8 Mile, like everybody knew it.
I knew of it before then, but I was like, oh, that's cool that they're using that.
Yeah,
that's
it was a great choice.
Yeah.
And then when I put it on, like now if I'm like putting on a set, like, and somebody's like, give me a Mobb Deep set or give me, you know, a 90s rap set, I'll put on Shook Ones at some point during the set, and then somebody, oh, the 8 Mile song, and I'm like, you motherfucker. Like, it drives me nuts. But I think a good song. I like that song.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I think it's
I like that you're fair with Eminem. Like,
yeah.
You're like, it's not my thing, but it is technically good.
Yeah. And I like that song. I would never listen to it because I find his music to be exhausting.
And also, it's been so made fun of so much. Well, so many memes with Mom Spaghetti.
And the Thor meme is my favorite.
That song, I've just heard it so much. It's just like, it comes on, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
It's like off Linkin Park.
I'm not going to thumbs down it, but I'm going to skip it. Just because I don't want to hear it. And my favorite part of the movie is when he wins the rap battle and walks away, like, where are you going? Like, I got to go back to work.
And Clarence Parents.
It's real.
Yeah.
And Free World.
But the movie's better than the song.
Ooh.
Or the same.
I think they're the same. I think they're both really good.
Okay.
Wow. I'll agree to that. And I haven't watched 8 Mile.
I haven't either.
I've probably seen it twice in my life.
Yeah.
And once was probably on like VH1 or something.
Yeah. There's some interesting stuff brewing over there that I'm interested to get the story in a couple months. But, you know, between him and Yellow Wolf.
Yeah,
and
I'm interested to see
just how
all
that shakes out.
Comes to light.
I heard the backstory to it. I'm not comfortable having that discussion on the air.
All right. Well, I want to hear that off the air.
Okay. I want to talk about the importance of that 8 Mile song, though, real quick, and that I think it was a game-changing moment for M, because what it proved to him, and he didn't have to take that big of a gamble with it, because the 8 Mile soundtrack wasn't an Eminem album. It was a soundtrack.
Yeah.
But I think what it proved to him was that he could make serious records as lead-off singles, because he did that kind of ever since. And before that, it was him in the Robin suit and his Bum Is On Your Lips and all that kind of stuff. And after that song, he kind of changed the way that he marketed his product, which I think made him a stronger, more reputable artist overall.
Nice.
All right, continue.
Top Gun.
So you're not wrong. I'm not either.
Yes, it's
both
right.
You're not wrong.
I think it's that, but I love. I think it's I Need a Hero, but also love.
I disagree there.
It's definitely
Danger
it's
Zone.
Definitely
Danger Zone. That's what I meant. Danger
okay,
Zone.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay, okay.
It's Danger Zone. My bad.
I like Footloose.
So, no. But I love that song, Righteous Brother.
No.
I'd
Take My Breath Away by Berlin.
Oh, I was thinking
Take
about,
My Breath Away.
I like the soundtrack. See, I'm thinking about another
song.
Soundtrack's about,
great on that song.
You never close your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the one that came to mind for you?
All of those. But Danger Zone is.
Danger Zone to me
I think
is the one.
Theme.
That...
Yeah. God damn. We'll have to talk about all of those songs. Obviously, we think they're all good.
Yeah. So,
how's the movie?
So, I don't think. I don't think that movie's good. I've never liked it. I'm sorry. I know it's a classic. I would never be disrespectful about it because I know how beloved it is.
You think it's entertaining, though?
I don't. I've never liked it.
Okay. I like the movie.
And you know what else bothers me about that movie? It was the Lord of the Rings of its time. Let me explain what I mean by that.
Please do.
Top Gun is the Lord of the Rings of its time, according to Bobby.
That's the title. let me write that down. Top Gun, Lord of the Rings. So, what I mean by that is whenever I went to somebody's house whose dad had, like, the kick-ass sound system.
Oh, yeah.
It was always the first 10 minutes of Top Gun with them taking off the aircraft carrier that they used to, like, prove that their system was dominant.
I'm very familiar with this concept.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what I mean by it. But, yeah, a great soundtrack. Danger Zone is fucking fantastic. Take My Breath Away is fantastic. The Righteous Brothers is fantastic. Like, all that shit is top shelf 80s music.
Top Gun.
I would say
Top Gun 80s music.
I mean, it's hard to say which is better. I mean, I guess at this point, the soundtrack or the movie.
I think the soundtrack's better than the movie. I mean, okay. I like the movie okay. I don't think it's amazing. Like, it's entertaining, but the soundtrack I could listen to all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. That one's tough for me. I'd probably say the movie, but by a very slim margin.
Wow. Yeah. You like the movie a lot.
Yeah.
Those are some good songs, man.
You're not wrong.
Okay. This is by a thin margin.
I want to listen to that shit right now.
All right.
But not with you guys.
Next Fair. Up, Titanic.
Fuck all of it. I'll just say that.
Okay.
The whole soundtrack, the whole movie.
So,
all, the entire
wait,
cast.
I got to think of the song.
Every night in my dreams, I see you.
Celine Dion.
Yeah, Celine Dion.
I feel you.
What's the hook?
My heart will go on.
I can't place it in my head. I know it. Like, if I heard
near,
it.
Far, wherever you are, I believe that the heart does go on.
Yep. Hold on, man. This is worth it. So, I think, you know what, man? We should have one day we're going to have a conversation about Titanic. But, like,
well, that day is today. Today's not that day.
That movie gets a lot of shit.
I like that movie.
I think that's a good movie.
I have it on a 2-cassette VHS.
I think it's one of those things where it became so successful.
And it's very meme-worthy. Dude, Billy Zane is great. Come on now.
It was like one of those things where it was so successful that people couldn't help but make it a joke.
I just have a very odd pocket of memory.
Why you hate it so much?
Well, as I might have mentioned 1,000 times on this show, mm-hmm. I worked in the film industry.
And
when that was coming out, two things. When that was coming out on VHS, it was a huge deal.
Right.
We had, you know, the loop that played in the video store, mm-hmm. and like every other thing was that stupid song. And then when the videos came in, they came in late. It's a double cassette. The company I was working for, we had to open up. We got like 250 copies of this. We had to open them up, put the cases together.
Yeah, and then double wide cassette.
Yes, and then the display that came in mangled, so we threw it away. That the day that came out, I had like the president of the company coming for a visit at my store. He asked me where the display was. We went and pulled it out of the dumpster.
Oh wow!
And like rigged it up, and he was like, "Ah, it works." I'm like, "Okay." So I just have that ingrained in my mind.
Okay,
about
so
that
it's not, so it's not really the experience. Movie. It's like everything around the movie fucked you on it.
I mean, the movie's fine. My favorite meme is. It's been 84 years. You know, I use that all the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of good moments.
I'm trying to find this. I'm starting to like be very concerned that I didn't save it.
That's what happens on your phone.
Anyway, the Heatmakers sampled it.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
You didn't save it?
But I don't think that anybody used it. But oh man. I will do my best to go back through their catalog and find it.
Try and find it.
To save it for next week.
So we know Chris hates everything about
it. I don't hate it. I just have that. It was exhausting to me. And every time I think about the movie, and that song just grates on my nerves. So if I'm picking the movie over the song, but I don't care for either.
So I picked
like both a lot.
So I picked the movie over the song.
Okay.
I like the song fine enough, but I would never listen to it.
Okay.
And. I think Titanic is a good movie.
I think it's a great movie.
And,
it doesn't make sense. The end doesn't make sense where he can't get on the goddamn board. But I've also never been in frozen water trying to climb up a board with somebody else on it either.
So my favorite part of that movie is when the old bitch's feet touch the rails.
And then you like the little curly toes.
The little curly toes.
And
she's,
whoops.
The old curly toes, man. I can't. Like everybody, like, you know, I feel like the typical man response to that movie is, oh, we laughed so hard when people fell off the boat and the guy's head hit the propeller or whatever. And like, I get it. But to me, none of that shit was half as funny as that old bitch's feet on that. Like, that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen, I felt like, in my life. I couldn't get a grip on myself.
I remember it was the first time to be okay, like, for nudity to be on screen and, like, you know, not the whole cover your eyes or, like, you know.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't inappropriate. It's like, hey, it's a respectable movie and there's tits in there.
Yeah. That's all true.
Because I saw it in the theater, and I was like, huh.
I'm going to try to call my buddy real quick. Because I saw it in the theater with my wife and my buddy Shane. Who Said My Basement Is Stupid, that guy, that classic. And I'm going to see if he remembers how hard we laughed at it. So let's give it a try.
You laughed out loud in the theater.
Oh yeah. Lost control.
That's like a emotional moment too.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Hope he's not out there living his best life.
Hi, you've reached Shane Fitzgerald.
Oh.
Hey.
So anyway, yeah. All right.
And it's had a huge cast. They made Leo, right? I mean, he was in stuff before,
yeah,
but that...
Yeah. Definitely catapulted him to a different level.
Yeah. Next up, Chris. Con Air.
I don't know the song.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't like the movie.
How Do I? Leanne Rimes and Trisha Yearwood?
Nope. Oh. Wait. It's right up your alley.
I didn't know
how
that
do I live?
Was... I'm familiar that's, with the song.
I'm pretty sure that's the Con Air theme song. I love the movie. I think it's not
man,
a good movie, but it's
I
fucking
have. I haven't
Nicolas
seen
Cage,
since
Dave
the
Chappelle,
90s.
Fucking
Dave Chappelle's in
that? John Malkovich, fucking
yeah.
Steve Buscemi.
Yeah,
it's fucking
yeah, it's a great cast.
Great.
Yeah, I have. I've only seen it once, and I didn't care for it when I saw it. So
I wouldn't think you would. It's
yeah.
not. It's
not.
Too
yeah,
off,
it's, yeah.
Too silly.
Yeah.
But it's a man just wanting to go home.
Yeah,
to
no,
his family.
That's always a good thing.
Why can't you put the bunny down? Oh, my God. With his like Nicolas Cage Southern accent and. Mullet thing going on.
That's true. He did have that mullet. A lot of great memes out of that one, too.
Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Like what Deluxe does at the end.
Yeah.
How's movie versus song?
Oh. So the movie's better.
Yeah, the movie by far, I think.
But that song is like, you know, because we could have another talk, like kind of like what we're doing about, you know, iconic scores that aren't scores, like iconic sound
right,
you
that's
know, songs
one
inspired.
Of the, like one of the many things that made me think of this little game.
Ghostbusters is probably in my top five of that discussion, you know, of songs that are super identifiable and iconic for the film they represent. And it doesn't hurt that it's fucking Ghostbusters.
And when
song.
It comes on, I will listen to it.
Yeah,
but
me
it only
too.
Comes on around Halloween.
Me too. You know what other song I love on that soundtrack though, while we're on the topic, is I Believe in Magic. I believe in magic. Hold on.
What is that from?
It's from that. It's when they let the monsters, like the ghosts, loose in the city.
Oh yeah.
It's like breathe.
Yes.
Breathe.
I enjoy. I quite enjoy that moment. It was cool, like with all the ghosts coming out from the fucking roof, and then. It made it serious.
Because I always think in my head, like, so whenever I hear music like that, I imagine two things, right? So I imagine this guy, he's working with this music. It's been produced, right? So he's listening to it. He's writing to it. He's got his pen. He's got his paper. And he writes down, breathe. And then he goes to the next line, breathe. And then he goes to the next line, breathe. And then
with extra ease.
Yeah. And then I imagine him like going into the booth and then like being super into it, like big 80s headphones on, and like, you know, do it like the circular motion with his head, like the forward circular motion. Then he's like, breathe. And then like I imagine like all the people in the studio room, like, yeah, like oh, he's in his shit, talk to him. Oh God, that shit is funny. Okay, yeah.
Rocky.
The score.
I think the music's better than the movie.
Wow. Okay.
I haven't seen the movie recently.
Wait, are we talking about? Are we talking about Survivor? Or talking about Eye of the Tiger?
So, Eye of the Tiger is what I think of most.
Okay.
Dun 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 dun. Dun. That's what I'm. Whatever mm-hmm. that is. Is what's mm-hmm. coming to mind.
Mm-hmm. That's the score.
That's not an actual.
No, that's a song.
No, it is.
It goes into the song.
Oh, I'm not sure if I'm even familiar with it.
I'm sure someone sampled
Eye
it.
Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
Eye of the Tiger is a different piece of music.
Yeah, that's not
and
that.
Bam, 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 bam. Bam.
That's Survivor, I think.
Bam, bam, but bam. Yeah, that shit is tough.
Better than the movie. It's, all of the movies?
I did watch them again. All the movies? Yes. As an average? Like
No. Like, it was better than any of the movies. Any of the Rocky movies. Rocky IV is super good.
Yeah, the first one's super good.
Is it the only number, like the fourth movie in the franchise that's the best in the franchise? Because that's just kind of crazy. It took that long to get the...
Episode one.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't
Ooh,
know.
Wow.
Yeah, it might be.
A loop right there.
It might be.
Well, Fast and Furious 4.
Oh, yeah, tell us, Chris. How'd that one compare?
Oh, which one was
four? It's the one that's the one after
compared to 1, 2, and 3.
They got back from Japan.
Oh, wait, Tokyo Drift, you know about that shit.
Well, yeah. Did you know that that's out that is out of time frame? That happens later.
It's a prequel? Or it's a sequel? See, like, oh, yeah. Like, 4 becomes before 3?
The timeline's all fucked up. Huh. We got the trailer for 9.
I don't crazy. Like when people say prequel.
What?
You ever heard people say that?
No.
It's a prequel. And they say it like, you know, like, it's like, oh, past the butter.
Like before Star-Lord, prequel.
Yes.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. That's what happens when it gets done early.
Oh, no, it's right, it's that early part.
Right.
Armageddon.
Oh, that's the Aerosmith. So
I could stay awake just to hear you.
So
you know the word?
Yeah,
breathing.
Here's my problem. Here's my problem with that Aerosmith era. Mm-hmm. All of the songs sounded the same.
They do.
I'm crying because I'm crazy.
I love that song, though.
It's amazing. Tell me, babe. Like, dude, all of those songs sound
like
the same.
I like it. I'm sorry. I like crying a lot.
So I don't like that song or that movie.
Wow. Well, I'm with Chris on this.
I love Aerosmith.
Like, my personal experience around that movie and song and era, Summer of 98, there's such an impactful moment in my life.
Same.
I forgot one. I'm crying because I'm crazy. It's amazing because I'm jaded. Like, that was another one, right? Jaded, crying, crazy, amazing. Like, and they all fucking sounded the same.
Yeah, I guess that's why I like them all. It's a one song remix.
They found a formula that works.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the movie and the song?
I
think the song's better than the movie.
Yeah, I'll just say
by thin margin. And I love both. I know it's not good, but I love them.
I haven't seen Armageddon since
I watched last year.
I would say that the song is better than the movie because I hate the movie, and I think the song is tolerable.
Did you know there were action figures from that movie?
Yes,
I actually had them.
Jumpsuit.
I had them.
Did they have Buscemi?
No, they had. Nah, they had.
That's all I care about.
Yeah,
they had Bruce Willis and Matt. Batman, whatever the hell his name is.
They had a He-Man. Ben Affleck? They had a He-Man figure.
Was that the movie that made him? No. Because that's when I remember him from the most. Like, back
Good Will Hunting would put him on the map. But both of them.
Yeah. And Matt Damon.
How about them apples?
Matt Damon. They had a He-Man figure after Steve Buscemi.
Really?
Yeah, the guy that you put the trigger on his back and his eyes go up out of his head. You know
what I'm talking about? I remember the opening scene, the graphics. I saw it in the theater. It was amazing at the time with the like shards of fucking meteor, like taking out New York.
And then the movie Deep Impact came out.
No, Deep Impact was out first.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing about that movie.
Yeah,
the Armageddon fucked Deep Impact up. Yeah. Even though Deep Impact, I think, was a
far better film.
It's much more serious.
Yes,
and Morgan Freeman.
That movie makes me cry like a baby. Like, I am no good.
Really?
No good. I wouldn't watch it with anybody else in the room.
Wow.
Like, there have been times in my life where I have been going through something and can't express the emotion, and I've put that movie on just to get it out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, that movie fucks me up. There's a couple of little key scenes, like them holding the baby, trying to get the baby over the fence.
Yes.
Ugh. And then,
Bobby's in his bag.
And then the woman and the father, like, holding each other. They had, like, this troubled relationship, and they're holding each other to die together on the beach. Like, that movie fucks me up. Oh, yeah, and then the one lady takes the baby and tries to get it to the helicopter, and then the woman's, like, chasing after it because she'd rather die
with the baby. And then she accidentally throws the baby into the propeller, and
I think it's a different movie.
Yeah. Oh, my bad.
But then she gives the seat to the mother, and, like, dude, all that shit is, like, it's a very human movie.
I mean, it's comparable to the scene in Titanic when the band was like, well, we'll keep playing.
I tell you what, I respect their swagger.
What,
the playlist is the playlist, man. You got to stick it out.
And then the old couple, like, cuddling in bed, like, well, the water's coming up now.
Yeah.
Ugh. Breakfast Club.
Oh, fuck. Was that it?
No, that's...
What am I thinking?
Which one's Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club was like they were in detention or something.
Is that the detention one?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you know the song?
What is it?
Don't You Forget About Me.
Oh, don't you?
Yes.
Forget. I think that movie was very important at the time.
Fuck yeah! I'm gonna say they're both great.
I agree.
Yeah.
Batman Forever.
Oh, that was the Seal record.
Yes.
Kissed by a Rose.
That's the only thing I know Seal from. I think
a Crazy is a song he had that was a big hit.
So how do you feel about the movie? How do you feel about the song?
The movie.
I love the song.
Yeah, the song is great.
Actually, I like the movie. That was one of the non-traditional Batmans I like.
There's a Joe Button line where he says, you know, like if Ugly can't win, tell that to that girl that Seal was dating at the time.
Heidi Klum.
Yeah, tell that to Heidi Klum. Like, yeah, that's a great song. I like the song way better than the movie.
Ah, man, I don't know. The movie's just so ridiculous. It's fun, but I'll say the song.
Okay, we got three more. Mm. Purple Rain.
Oh.
I've never seen the movie. So I'll say the music.
The theme song is When Dove Cries.
Well, then definitely the song. I bet you that's an interesting story about how that movie got made.
So the song is by far better than the movie.
I agree.
The movie's a classic, but not good.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it again.
But the song, what is it? Computer Blue, Doves Cry, Purple Rain, like all. I mean, that shit is fucking phenomenal.
It's like our greatest hits album, basically.
Yeah.
Dangerous Minds.
Oh,
as I walk through the valley, definitely the song. And the Weird Al parody is even better.
I haven't seen that movie since it came out.
You don't need to see it.
It's not good. Michelle Pfeiffer's in it, right?
It's exactly what you think it's going to be.
Right, but I mean, that doesn't mean it's inherently bad. What was the one that was like before that one? It was like the Spanish version. Like, you know what I'm talking about?
Family Guy made fun of it, I think.
Did they? It was like the teacher was like a Spanish, he was a Spanish guy, and it was in L.A., and he was dealing with
it. Was Edward James Almost I'm serious.
I don't know, but that name, I still love that name.
Yeah.
I'm
definitely going to say the song on that one.
I like the song a lot, but it was played out.
Yeah, let me ask you this: you prefer Fantastic Voyage or Gangster's Paradise by Coolio? If you're gonna,
Fantastic Voyage,
yeah, for sure.
Have you seen him lately,
Coolio?
I have seen his hair.
He's got sprouts on the side of his head.
Holding on,
he's got like four braids. Yeah.
And lastly, Robin Hood with Kevin Costner.
Oh, that was the Bryan Adams song.
Dude, probably the song.
That song
also has a deep meaning to myself, so I love that song.
I'm going to say the movie.
Just because seeing Kevin Costner's butt waterfall.
True.
That was such a... You get to see his butt. His butt's in the movie.
Yeah.
So do you think the movie's better than the song?
Yeah, I'm not crazy about the song.
Okay.
But I think that song... So I put songs like that in the Celine Dion record kind of in the same box where
it's like prom songs, man.
Yeah. It's a paint-by-numbers approach to making a huge, massive romantic hit.
Don't Want to Miss a Thing was a prom song.
Yeah.
But I think that... So I don't think that movie is a good movie, okay? But that movie taught me stuff.
The movie's not a good movie, but it's better than the song.
Correct.
How much you like the song.
Correct. But I think that movie taught me a lot about the lore of Robin Hood that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know anything about Will Scarlet, and there was a couple other like supporting characters.
The only one,
the witch from the, because she was like in the lore also. Like,
oh, it's a real lore. Because I know all you care about is the fox.
Yeah, dude, that one's great. But I'm trying to think. Was there?
I think that movie was for like soccer moms of the time.
It was
right. The moms love that movie.
Yeah,
moms love Kevin Costner at the time.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's all I got.
Fantastic, Joe. Thank you. That was awesome.
Thanks, Joe. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was my note.
Let's see here. Didn't have a lot of notes, but watched the director's cut of Aliens.
Nice.
Which is have you guys seen the director's cut?
I think so.
There's a total, like, it kind of fucks up the whole narrative in my opinion. So in the beginning of the movie, Paul Reiser's character talks to her about her daughter.
Yeah.
Which isn't in the regular version of the movie.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Yeah.
And that...
It puts things in perspective.
It puts things in a different perspective for you. I don't know. It's just...
You're not sure how you feel about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see why they cut it out, I guess. It gives her more breathing room between being unfrozen and going directly back to...
And taking care of the kid.
Nude. Yeah. It helps how you see her as being this maternal figure.
And she didn't want to go back, but she had no choice. She's like working the loading docks because she couldn't fucking do anything else. Everyone she knows is dead. Her daughter died old like 2 years ago.
Right.
Like, she had nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, and they were like, well, you know, we're going to try and kill these things. We'll give you a lot of money.
Right.
And they keep bothering her, too. She just kept saying no.
Yeah.
Until she kept having nightmares. Right? And she woke
up
in the
middle.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that version better.
You do?
Yeah.
I'm torn about whether I like it better. And I haven't seen the director's cut version in a long time. That's the copy I have is that. So,
but I mean, it really was always great. But like that gives her more to her.
Yeah, and it's just so cool now to look at the way the world is with, you know, everyone wearing body cams all the time, and that, you know, they had body cams on, and you get to see everything through that. So I just thought that was a cool lens to look at it through. Let's see here. The Aladdin live action movie is on Disney Plus now.
I saw it as well.
Okay.
How do you guys feel?
Hang on. Because we started to watch it, and then I told my wife, I don't know that I've ever seen the cartoon.
Oh, see, that's a linchpin in that conversation.
Well, she said, okay, let's stop and let's watch that. So we watched the animated one.
Okay. And how do you feel about that?
It's fine. I probably saw it as a child and don't really, because I didn't, some things I remembered. Some things I didn't. It was good. I can see why people like it.
Because Bobby watched it as an adult, too.
I did, because I wasn't into when Disney changed gears, and I'm sorry to cut you off. When Disney changed gears from the animal characters to the human characters, I lost interest. Like The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, all that stuff during that time, I lost interest.
I mean, I was in...
That was when they were big.
I was in 9th or 10th grade when that came out, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a guy I was friends with that was like obsessed with that movie, and then I never quite understood why.
Adam was obsessed with it.
I watched it a lot.
He was Asian too, so
yeah, it makes sense.
An agent of what?
You know what?
Chaos.
That's the closest thing to an Asian person we have was Aladdin at the time.
I guess.
Yeah. So, I like Mulan better than Aladdin.
I came on much later.
Correct.
So the following night.
I was relating it to the things that we like. Aladdin,
it's the closest thing to Asian we had.
And then Mulan came out.
Yes. Okay.
And I'll tell you, one thing that doesn't necessarily hold up in Aladdin is all Robin Williams' character work, because I think any kid who watches that today has no idea who the fuck he's trying to emulate.
I don't know if kids knew then.
Maybe not. I mean, like the Humphrey Bogart. Jesus. Gobarts in disguise. Just fucked it all up.
Gobarts. The Gobarts.
it's the Simpsons crossover with the Gobots.
I feel like Disney makes the movie so that like adults can stomach watching it with their kids.
I think that's what it was. But even for me, I'm like, I barely know who you're trying to emulate now. Mm-hmm. So then the next night we watched the live action one. Uh-huh. And my wife, who loves Aladdin, about halfway through said, how much of this shit's left?
Really?
She didn't care for it.
I love it, and I love it because I love the original.
I didn't like it. I'll tell you.
So tell me what you didn't like. I want to have a discussion about it.
You're Aladdin. I'm Will Smith in CGI.
I never look at you. I'm always looking somewhere else. Get the fucking shit together, Disney.
I never noticed that.
I didn't either. It's bad. It's like he's looking, like I'm looking.
Past
you. It just never came across. And the new songs are trash.
Yeah, the new song I don't care about.
And
I liked it.
Like, I'll tell you, my wife didn't care for she said they should have found the skinniest, gangliest dude to play Jafar that they could. She didn't like that.
It was very pretty.
That casting is trash.
She didn't like that. I don't know. It's I know they elaborated on a lot of stuff because they made it, because it's almost an hour longer than the animated. Some of it was cool.
Genie had a side story, and then the girl and Jasmine had more parts.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It was a chore to watch it, but I just wanted to get through it.
I want to talk to someone about it who loved the original, because like me and Chris both love the cartoon as children, mm-hmm. and then we love this, but like Kelly doesn't, which I would like to ask her.
Yeah, she didn't like it very much. I do want to watch.
Let me comment real quick on that. I actually saw this some time ago, and I've been meaning to bring it up. I got to be better about my notes. I wasn't crazy about the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't love it.
The cartoon or the
live action?
Okay.
But if I had to watch an Aladdin movie right now, I would choose the live action.
Really?
Yeah. And I think
I would choose the anime one because it's shorter.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
That's a fair answer. But like, there are things that I think worked better for me in live action, like the entry into the kingdom as Prince Ali.
I mean, that was a spectacle.
Yeah, that worked a lot better in live action for me than it did in the cartoon. And I also liked getting more of the genie story and Jasmine story. And it's like, I remember when Adam saw this and he was like, it kind of bothered him because it didn't feel like an Aladdin story. It felt like an Aladdin story and a Jasmine story, but mainly a Jasmine story. I kind of felt like they were telling three stories at once,
and
how they kind of interconnect. And I enjoyed that more, but it might be also because I don't have this strong character connection to Aladdin himself. I just kind of know of the lore. So getting a little bit more information on all the characters was beneficial to me as a viewer. But I thought it was good overall. I wouldn't watch it again necessarily, but I wouldn't shit on it. And I probably liked it better than Beauty and the Beast. And
the live action or the cartoon?
Just in terms of live action at this point. Yeah. I probably liked it better than Beauty and the Beast. And
Lion King.
So I like Lion King better.
Even though because the cartoon's better than live action, I think.
Well, I haven't seen the Lion King one. Yeah, we're playing.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I think they're about six of one, half a dozen of the other, because it's pretty much the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Except in the live action one, you get this little extra tidbit about Nala that I like.
I like to have the live action to tweak things just a little bit.
Yeah.
And give you even old year or something new to watch.
Yeah. But what I don't like about Lion King is they don't do enough new stuff.
Mm.
Whereas I like the new stuff in Aladdin.
Yes. But I like all the new stuff.
At the end of the day, I just rather watch animals than people.
That's fair. That's fair.
Okay, continue on.
Just super busy doing projects that have a deadline that I think we're going to be okay on. And watched the Super Bowl last night. Let me rephrase that. Watched the commercials.
I watched it too.
With football in between. It was actually a pretty good football game.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a huge football fan.
Me neither. But it was fun to watch.
Yeah, they got some talented
kids.
That guy
Mahomes is he's crazy.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal.
I mean, he's calmed down a little bit. You know, he threw two interceptions back to back. But
people were telling me about this kid and, you know, and how spectacular he is. And I had, it was kind of on. And I was catching bits and pieces of it, and I was like, this is your hero. I felt like Jay-Z, like, this is with whom you choose to place your faith. But then in the end, I feel like I saw the kid they had been talking about.
So I remember seeing, like, I was just in GameStop, and I saw he's on the cover of Madden, and I'm like, the fuck is this guy?
Yeah.
I was telling my wife, when I was a kid, I remember football players to me were this, like, fucking scary. Uh-huh. They were intimidating.
Yeah, this guy's
And now I'm looking at it like, there's got some green dreadlocks sitting on the sideline. None of these guys are intimidating to me. I mean, I'm
some
not saying that.
You're also much bigger.
I'm not saying, well.
Some of them are scary.
Some linebacker motherfuckers, yeah.
Dude, Sherman on the 49ers, I just heard him say his name. And every time I looked up, Sherman was like putting some guy on his ass.
Oh, Richard Sherman?
I don't have the fucking clue.
Richard Simmons.
Dreadlocks that go halfway down his back. Yeah,
played for the... He played for the Seahawks back when they had a decent run.
Something about a curse about Madden games? They get on the cover on the Madden and some bad shit happens after that?
Normally, if you're on the Madden cover, you get hurt.
But that dude was like wrecking guys. Like, guys were like hitting him and like just falling back to the opposite end of the field. And I felt like he was so nonchalant about it. Like, I feel like after he would put some guy on his ass, another grown-ass man, and put him in park... If he could, he would just pull his phone out and check his notifications real quick, and
he was just doing work.
It was just another day at the office.
But there were the commercials were, it was a lot of tear jerkers, like trying to pull in your heartstring stuff. There was a couple that. There was one with permission to come aboard. I don't know if you guys saw that.
So he's taking off his muscles and stuff.
Yeah,
and
so it's like for Rocket Mortgage. He comes, I like to relax when I get home. So he takes off his shoes, and then he takes off his arms, and he's just
like this little skinny guy.
And he takes off his chest, and then like his I don't know if you guys know this, he's married to Lisa Bonet
from
the Cosby Show fame.
Who he had a crush on as a child.
Correct.
Which is batshit crazy. But
and also awesome for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. How does that work?
J. Cole, step your game up. anybody that gets that. So he's like trying to work out with like a piece of PVC and he can't. So that was funny. There was nothing else really comes to mind. Some of them were some real like tear jerkers. Like Google was pushing this thing like, you know, this older guy is like, remember that, you know, my dead wife liked the tulips and this, that, and the other. And it's like you can go back and like, geez, man. And a couple of it seemed to me they were more trying to get people to than just laugh their ass off.
Did you see Hove? He was there.
I did. He was with his hat on and Did you see the halftime show?
Did you see that he was eating French fries? I don't know why I find that so enjoyable. But like it was just like this like big basket of like triple fried French fries and he's just chowing down these French fries. I'm like, that's a billionaire.
Yeah.
That's a fucking billionaire. Like, you know what I mean? Like, God bless that dude.
Funny side story. I watched that Jeff Goldblum show that's still coming on Disney.
Yeah.
So the last one was about jewelry. So he ends up at the guy in Houston who made the grills famous. They're like Paul Wall works.
Oh, yeah.
And the dude had like, he's got this wall with all these.
Paul Wall?
Paul Wall was in that. And okay. Look, he has a beard and looks strange. But
he's like super thin now, right? Yeah. Or no, is that Bubba Sparks or something? Like,
both, actually. Yeah. Like, Paul Wall actually, I think, had a heart attack. And oh, wow. I think he had gastric bypass. He got really big, but he's slim, obviously, now. Right. But he had this wall with all these drawers and celebrities' mouths. And they pulled out Beyonce's, and her teeth were just super little. And Jay-Z's were right next to it. I'm like, they ain't going to show Jay-Z's teeth. You know,
imagining Jay-Z with a grill is weird.
I don't know. Had a ton of celebrities on that wall. But anyways, so yeah, the Super Bowl was entertaining. The commercials were, I'd say, entertaining. Like I said, nothing's really coming to mind.
But. Any new movie spots?
Oh, yes. The Disney Plus did so
that's
a Marvel.
In our, that's in our okay, notes. We'll have you seen that? That?
With Scarlet Witch
and all that. What do you guys think of that?
I think it...
We can just get through it now. It kind of
got me going. I mean, I was...
It looks like the comic.
Yep, yeah, it does. I mean, what you love.
It's amazing.
So we get...
Wait, but it's on Disney, though.
It's Disney. Yeah,
Isn't the comic get dark?
It does.
So, like, can you see that?
I mean, does Mandalorian get dark?
Yeah.
Not that dark.
Not that dark, but, I mean, it's not super kid-friendly. It's not childish.
It's PG.
I'd Mandalorian say it's PG-13.
Is PG to me.
I'd say it's PG-13.
There's no fucking blood in the entire goddamn thing.
Yeah, but there's no blood in
just as an example, like the violence didn't seem real.
Well, look, all the Marvel movies and all the Star Wars movies are on Disney Plus, so use that as your benchmark.
Yeah, all the Marvel movies.
They're not going to be any more dark or violent than any of those movies.
But it's not just like it's not the violence and blood, it's the idea, right? The dark ideas are not the same thing as like violence.
Well,
betrayal.
It can't be the same as the comic because the comic deals with this robotic vision wife.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a damn good book.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's kind of paramount. But it just seems like they're trying to extrapolate that somehow. Mm-hmm. I would put
just like all the movies.
Civil War. Yeah.
But in that same package, they showed the Bucky
Falcon,
and then just basically showed Loki, you know, the, I don't think they've really, but they've apparently been filming these things, and you know, it's good to see that they're
I'm
trucking along with it. They showed it the Top Gun 2 trailer, which I know, you know, super pumped.
I was thinking, Civil War, they didn't have, what's his face blowing up a bus full of kids, school bus full of kids.
Oh, I mean, there's so much, because
Civil War's dark, there was a lot of the side stories were bad,
And I mean, Thor is a major player in Civil War, and he's absent in the movie.
Yes. Is new Fast and Furious with John Cena?
Oh, yeah. Fast 9, yeah.
Isn't John Cena...
John Cena is Toretto's brother. Which is, I don't know how I feel about
Vin
that.
Vin Diesel and John Cena being brothers, it's just amazing.
And then the Asian sensation is back from the dead. So Han, the guy who died, and he's back to life. He's in the movie. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
His twin is fine. Fast and Furious, how serious is going to be?
Well, you know,
clone. Whatever.
Well, they had cybernetic people in the Rock's last side movie. So.
Yeah, with nanomachines.
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe he's half robot. So,
he's Asian, half robot, son.
That's me.
All right, I am overwhelmed at the moment with work. I have.
Hold on. Wait. How much percentage of this work was put on you, and how much percentage of the work you put on yourself?
100%, I think I put on myself.
I thought.
So I have a table upstairs full of toys that I had to get done, two of which are involved. And I've had a lot of involved reviews recently, like this whole Purple Power Baser thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just had a lot of involved reviews recently. So, like, you know, I'm like, God bless, where's the new age stuff?
Start doing the one-step changers.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, you throw it down, it flips.
Exactly. Well, I just,
no paint.
So I just got in the mail today, S.H. Figuarts M. Bison.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, thank God. Let me do this. I just want to do this today. Hot Toys, I got the Two-Face, which was an easy review to get through.
Mm-hmm.
But then right behind it, I got the War Machine, which is a fucking shit show to get through. So it's just been a lot of involved reviews and stuff, and then I have a whole table full of them upstairs. So that's weighing on me. I have a number of things. We can talk about that. I have a number of things that I have to do behind the scenes. Like, I've compiled all of our greatest hits moments so far, but I haven't made any of the edits. You know, like, I haven't actually put any of it together. I just have the note of, like, you know, this, you know, episode 230 from 3 minutes and 45 seconds to 3 minutes and 80 seconds.
Like, in February, beginning of February.
Just 80 seconds.
You got a ton of time on that one.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's just like,
it's more stuff on the back burner.
Yeah, yeah, it's another one of those things. I'm like, you're going to stay on top of it this year. This year, you're going to stay on top of it. What else do I have going on? I have, I have so much Patreon content right now to get out. I don't know how I'm going to get it all out, like, before the videos start coming out. Do you know what I mean? Like, so today I put up the Bobby Boogie Bop, which was Dipset, which is an amazing episode, by the way, if I do say so myself. Like, it's just in the sense that, like, there's a few music episodes that we've done where we've really covered the story of it all. You know, like, almost like a behind the music type thing. This is one of them. Like, Tool was really good that we did. This one is really good that we did. And there's a few others. And most of them are just fun. But there's a few that are like, man, like, I wish I could put this somewhere. As like a, you know what I mean? For people to see, like, this is what we're capable of when we really get into it. But then, so, then I have First Impressions of Flames Toys Optimus. That needs to go out tomorrow because the review goes out Wednesday. Then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are all final thoughts. One of a video from last week, two from videos this week, and that doesn't even get into other stuff. Like, I have a bloopers lined up, and I have Wine and Cheese lined up, and then I have First Impressions of the two hot toys, because, you know, and then I have the reviews for the two hot toys, and then I have the M. Bison, you know what I mean? Like, it's, jeez. And then I have a Marvel Legends Vulture review that I've been sitting on for like a month now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just have so much stuff. Yeah. Like,
that's back burner stuff.
I just realized last month I had totally forgot about something. Like, just never posted it.
Yeah,
like,
you made it, but you didn't post it.
Made it, just never posted it.
It's a problem. You got too much content for your Patreon.
Yeah, so, like, I have all that going on. And then I have, what else do I have? I chose to take on this project at work, and there's been some ups and downs regarding it. So, it's video related.
Yeah.
And they asked me to do it, and I said, sure. Because they know Skullface, you know what I mean? Like, they know that I know how to edit some stuff. And so they asked me if I would do it. I said, sure. So I did one, and I said, look, I would prefer to do my own stuff. You know, not like my own, like I was talking shit, but stuff that's work-related that I conceptualize. And
creative control.
Correct. But they wanted me to do this one topic at the beginning. So I did it, and then they wanted me to make a change to it. They wanted me to make two changes to it, and one I agreed to, and the other one I said I won't do it. I said, I appreciate this opportunity, and I want to continue with this, but I can't do this because I disagree, like, and I can't sacrifice that. And my reputation's on the line. I had people that I interviewed because it was a bad spill at work, and we had to mop it up for hours. And I, when I addressed those people, I was like, look, I want to do this. And they were like, no, I'm not doing this because they're going to, you know, because somehow they're going to turn it into this type of a thing. And I gave them my word that I would be completely honest about it all. Yeah. And then they wanted me to turn it into that type of a thing. And I was like, I just can't do it. But I hope I get to continue because I'm really enjoying it. And I think there's a future for me in it.
Integrity counts,
but my integrity is paramount. It means so much to me, you know, like my reputation means a lot to me. So there's that, and I have another project that I'm working on that I took on for creative control, but I might have bit off more than I can chew. I you don't know how hard that is for me to say, but like I might need help. So I got that weighing on me. I want to get that done by next week. So I just have so much going on. I'm going to Birds of Prey this week.
Oh, okay.
Which I'm looking forward to, but like at the same time, it's like
2 hours you'd be doing something else.
Yep.
That's why I stopped going to stuff.
You know, and like you know, like I haven't been doing anything content wise Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons because I've been spending them with my wife. But like I might need to be like, look, I need these afternoons for like just this week or just a couple weeks to get you know back on. But I don't want to do that either. My wife and I have been in a pretty good place recently, but we did have one little bump in the road, which I think I can put out there. But she has a friend And
how dare she?
I know. Didn't I tell you about that? And the friend is a nice enough person, but this friend, in my opinion, only seems to want anything to do with my wife when her life is in peril, which is often because her life derails all the time.
And most of Empire.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. That's none of my business.
Yeah, as long as your wife is cool with dealing with it.
But I don't want to sacrifice anything for it.
Right.
So, so that's been a little bit of a bumpy little bit. And we'll talk about it more on Wine and Cheese, I'm sure. Then here's the last thing. Selena.
Mm-hmm.
Selena gets invited to a birthday party a week ago or whatever, but she wasn't feeling well. So we declined the invite. But we bought the gift. Like she was going to go, but then she got sick.
Yeah.
So we were like, look, you know, as soon as you get better, we'll invite her over. You guys can spend the afternoon together. You can give her the gifts and that. So we do.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl comes over and they're upstairs playing and they're having a blast. And all of a sudden, Selena comes downstairs and says, she wants my Pokemon stuffed animal. This one that Cody got her.
Mm.
And Laura's like, well, I can understand how she would want that, you know? And she was like, can I give it to her? And I was like, no, Cody gave you that as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just who's like, Selena has this, like she's a hustler. She's angry, but she's also like, she's probably the most sweet and sensitive of my children. Like, she's the first one to get her feelings hurt. She's the first one to anything that goes wrong, like, it'll crush her. So, like, she loves this fucking thing, but she was going to give it to this kid because this kid wanted it. Like, no, we're not doing that. So she goes upstairs, and she's like, no. So mommy said no. So the girl comes downstairs and is like, can I have it? And Laura's like, no. And she's like, but I really want it. And Laura's like, well, so does Selena, and it's hers. So, no. The girl starts crying, runs upstairs into Selena's room, and is crying. And I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about wailing. So, Laura goes upstairs, and she's like, what's going on? And she's like, I want it. She's like, yeah, no, I understand you want it, but no,
it's not yours.
And Laura's like, you want me to call your mom? It seems like it's, so she, Laura comes downstairs like 12:27. The mother's going to be there at 12:30. Mother came a few minutes earlier, so we're all good. So mom comes in. She's made aware of the situation. The girl comes downstairs, and she's like, they won't let me have it. And she's like, oh, I'll buy you one. And a girl runs into our library, sits in the corner and wails for 8 minutes. For 8 minutes, which doesn't seem like a long time.
No, it's a fucking long time.
But it's a long time. While the mother goes in and sits and consoles her about getting it. And Laura's sitting in the other room, like, just kind of like trying to give them their space because, I mean, she's certain it's awkward.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very awkward.
And then, like, they eventually come out, and the girl says, like, they gave me a birthday present because we gave like a Pusheen, which is like this fat cat thing. It's like a stuffed animal. It's like a fat cat. It's like an emoji.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So they gave her like a big stuffed animal, one of those, and some gel pens. They never thanked us for it, but the girl, I think like the mom was like, well, thank them for the gift. And the kid was like, oh, I already have gel pens. I want the Eevee or whatever it is. And then they go on. And, you know, the mother apologized, like, look, I don't know what's going on with this kid. But in my head,
I know exactly what's going
on. Yeah, in my head, I'm like, I know exactly what's going on. And it probably happens all the time because which is not my business, but it seems like you're understanding and tolerate this behavior. So my wife, like, pulls the kids, like, together, like, well, Leigh and Selena mainly, because Jane is in a different space, you know. It's like, you understand that this behavior is unacceptable. It will never be tolerated here. And, you know, like, made it clear, like, whatever that was will not happen.
But that, like, kid wouldn't be welcome back to the house.
Well, that's being kicked around as well.
Wow.
But yeah.
It's bad influence, if nothing else. And also, amen. Like, a fucking nightmare to deal with.
Right.
Because it's not your kid, so you can't fucking yell at it.
Right. Right. So yeah. Series of unfortunate events.
Not children.
What else did we watched Harry Potter 3.
Oh, yeah, because
we've been working.
How far? 20 minutes?
How far?
I made it.
Wow, the whole thing.
All the way through.
Which one's 3, remind me?
Gary Oldman's introduction.
Okay. Of course, that's why.
That's wild.
Also, been on my little fitness kick. I mean, nice. Fitness is a stretch, but I've been walking twice a day, mm-hmm. 26 minutes. Not because I'm like, I'm walking 26 minutes, but because this track that I'm on takes me about 26 minutes to make my way around. And lifting and eating nice. Relatively healthy and
nice.
I still have a fucking medium pizza to myself every week. But
you allowed that, man.
Yeah, but like I'm seeing results. I'm feeling good. It's funny how like you. I never look at myself in the mirror. Like I can't get away from a mirror fast enough. I'm like, ah, like, you know what I mean? Like you're still you. the other day I would get into the shower and I was like, oh, look at you.
Nice.
Look how you're shaping up there.
That makes me happy. Like people getting into that bag makes me.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, I might be catching the bug a little bit of it. Like, I might be getting addicted to it a little.
Understanding
bit.
Understanding why the
you know like
why it feels good.
Yeah, like you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm there's some complications with it. Like I'm starting to get a couple aches in my elbows and stuff like that. But
that happens.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it and I'm enjoying seeing the results. And I kind of feel like I'm on this mission now and just seeing what works and what doesn't work. And
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What you need is a little like table that you strap to yourself in the front, so you can, when you walk, you can edit videos.
There you go. That's it.
That's the key.
Or you know, they make treadmills with those desks.
Yeah, yeah.
Now walking outside is
well. I know, obviously, yeah. It is.
But
the treadmill outside.
But you know what? I think it's been good for my mental state.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just being outside, yep. Like even though it's cold as fuck. Like there's, I think there's something.
Some fresh air.
Yeah, I think there's
change of scenery.
Yep. So I feel like I've been a little bit more stable. Yeah. You know, emotionally and so forth, and it's been good. And
that's
my
awesome.
My wife's been walking with me in the evening, so like we have a couple rules. I advise everybody out there that's like. You know, wanting to get active, put it on both of y'all so that you both have to hold yourselves accountable, you know, because that helps. Because there's been plenty of nights where I'm like, man, fuck this. And she's like, nope, we're doing it. We said we were going to do it and we're doing it. And then vice versa, you know?
Yep. I get that too.
So then we go out and we have a couple rules. No, we will not, we shall not mention the children.
Oh.
So like
that's good.
So we sit, so we take this walk for 26 minutes on average. Every now and then she's got this. I got her that Apple Watch for Christmas. Yeah. So like now if she's got to close a ring or something, we got to walk 10 more minutes, whatever the fucking case may be. But like, you know, I'm proud of her too. She's like, she's closed the rings. Like there's like 3 rings, and she's closed them every day for like 38 days.
Like mean goal.
Yeah, for like 38 days cool. She's done it. Yeah, so I'm proud of her too, and she does like yoga every morning now, and then walks with me in the evenings. So like, you know, but we're stuck together for 26 minutes with no distractions because you can't really look at your phone while you're walking and shit. Yeah. And we can't talk about the kids. So like we're getting to some nitty gritty shit, some shit that like maybe we should have dusted off a long time ago and got out there, you know, and it's been,
that's awesome.
Some of it's been rough, you know, to be fair, you know, like this thing that, you know, bothered her and, you know, 6 years ago that she never really verbalized and just, it was easier to just go with it. You know, so like we had to work through some of that shit. But I think, you know, we might take one step back on, you know, but we're taking 5 steps forward, you know, when the dust settles.
And at the end of the day, it's good to work on stuff.
Yeah.
It's just not working on it.
Yeah, I agree. So it's been good. It's been good. And with that, we don't have, we already discussed the OneNote. What do you guys, I don't want to get too into the woods on this shit, but what do you guys think about these Transformer reveals? Have you seen them at all?
I didn't even know there was Transformer reveals.
So they revealed a Scorponok, which
but this is Hasbro stuff, right?
Correct.
This is not third party.
Correct.
Stuff,
like, correct.
It's Toy Fair leaks, is what it is.
Yes,
it's a Toy Fair assortment.
I mean, I guess we should talk about. But does anyone at this table care about that stuff?
I think I'm going to get the Scorponok
because
I had the Metroplex, I had the Triptychon. I probably should get the Fort. Well, the Fans Toys is making the Fort Max, but
maybe
right.
Also, it's going to be 3 times the size of everything else.
Right. Well, see, so that's the thing, right? Is that
they're not
like,
going to go with the other stuff.
In my head, I'm like, maybe I should just get the Fort Max for insurance. You know what I mean? And then if they never make it, then I get rid of it. And then I keep it. And if they do make it, then I can get rid of it. But
I mean, other than that, it seems to be just retools, and there's nothing. I didn't look hard at it. I glanced at it, and it's
new.
Scorponok looks pretty good.
That Sure.
But their city buses always look decent, right?
Agreed. But I feel like this is even, like, if Trypticon was better than Metroplex, I feel like this is better than Trypticon. Like, I feel like there is advancements.
Sure.
Is that a new line? I mean, it was Siege, right?
Well, it's Earthrise now. I think it's called Earthrise.
Yeah.
So they're back on Earth now. They were in Cybertron, and now they're on Earth.
I don't know.
Okay.
And what about that Netflix series?
For that.
What about that Netflix series?
What Netflix series?
There's supposed to be a Transformers Netflix cartoon series. Yeah.
I mean, I'd be down to try it if it
comes out. Me too.
I've never heard of it. Are you sure it's Netflix?
Yeah. But I haven't heard anything about it in some time. Yeah.
Because, I mean, they've been having Transformers on TV.
Yeah, no. This was supposed to be like a you know, slightly older age demographic, not adult, not mature, so to speak, but a slightly older demographic age. Yeah. And they're supposed to be exclusive to Netflix. Yeah, I don't know. I've also, like, on those walks, not for nothing, not to get back to that, but, you know, Fridays I go through the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the Friday walks I look forward to the most
because
I really have, like, in the mornings, I really have something to do walking. It's where I listen to that Eminem album and, you know, all that. But yeah, were you just looking for it by chance?
No. I mean, I don't give any.
Right. No, I know you don't give a shit.
It's all Chuck's
conversation's sake.
Right.
Hang on. I've got it here.
Netflix Transformers series.
Oh, that. I was going to pull up these.
A new Transformers series is coming to Netflix in 2020. But this was from February of last year. And this is from June of last year. But I feel like we haven't heard anything about it in a while. So I don't know.
So this, so the Scorponok is an obvious retool of the Trypticon.
Oh, the Trypticon.
Really?
Isn't
how?
It? I mean, a little, that,
I don't think so.
Is it not?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Wait, it explodes into a base mode?
Yeah, I see the base mode, but I mean, like, I don't see the dinosaur bits. You know what I mean? I think that Scorponok, I mean, it's hard, you know, the little ass pictures, and we're doing the best we can, but, I mean, it looks the part.
Yeah.
The Skylynx looks, I think...
How does it compare to the MMC?
It's not like that. Like, so obviously it's not going to be as well made, right?
Right.
And it's, you know, and it's not going
to look, though.
But it doesn't look that far off to me. Like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously the MMC one looks better. I don't think we're talking about something that's 100% better in, you know, one's 100 and one's 50. I think we're talking about something that's like one's an 80 and one's a 60.
I think it helps that Skylynx in particular is like an abstract thing.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
For
it's
sure.
It's just a block and a plane on it.
For sure. 100,000%. No doubt.
Yeah, and then there's some repaints. There's a Wheeljack that doesn't look great. And they're it's funny. They're using the MicroMaster molds from the late 80s still. They're putting out new MicroMasters, which is this exact same shit from back then.
I mean, yeah, I guess it makes sense. The only other thing that I think we had in the notes was this Mortal Kombat animated series. Did you see that at all?
No.
I know there was going to be one. I didn't.
Or maybe it's an animated movie. It's called like Legend Scorpion.
Is it Netflix also?
I don't think so. No, Blu-ray and DVD.
Okay.
Dude, who's getting it? Which one of my Blu-ray buds is going to get it?
That is just... I will stream it when it's digital.
It's definitely not me. It's definitely not me.
Dude, you guys want to be bros. You don't want to be Blu-ray buds. It's fucked up. It doesn't look bad. It looks like there's a particular type of Japanese animation that it looks like, but I'm sure you could look at it and be like, oh, yeah, it's in the such and such wave of Japanese animation. But one thing that bothers me about it, Sonya Blade's chin... is chiseled. It's like her chin ate all of Rome.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, it's like a Lego block sitting underneath her fucking jaw. It's crazy. Like, who thought that was a good idea?
Well, I mean, do we need... a Mortal Kombat animated series?
Oh, it's a movie. It's a movie.
It's an animated movie.
Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to a live action movie.
I am too.
Yeah.
And I don't think that we need it per se, but
it's interesting.
Yeah. I think that, you know, to be fair, I think it'll probably work better than a live action.
Maybe.
Just because of the story itself, you know.
It's a bit out
everyone's
there.
It's supposed to die.
Quan Chi, isn't it? Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Shang Tsung, Goro, Sonya, Katana.
What is Mortal Kombat without Sub-Zero and Scorpion?
Correct. You got to have them.
It's like Street Fighter without Ken and Ryu.
Yeah, and it's like Storm Collectibles without any toys.
Didn't they just reveal something?
From Mortal Kombat? Oh, Raiden. They got Raiden coming soon. Yeah, that looks great.
That head exploding gimmick is wild.
Yeah, it's cool though.
That is wild.
See? Storm's great. All the ninjas are funding your shit.
Well, no, let's not get too extreme. They are funding at least one more.
Ninjas and Goro
and the androids.
Oh no.
Yeah, they had a Goro and a Baraka and a Shao Kahn.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything else has been ninjas.
Yeah, but you know,
and robots.
It's been funding funding new stuff.
Robot ninjas.
Robot ninjas, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, the gimmicks for Sektor, like the
missile.
No,
oh, the net. The net.
No, the like collapsing thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's pretty fucking awesome.
It's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking awesome.
It's a great line.
It is.
It's just if you have like 8 years to wait for to come out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think about while we're just talking toys. Finishing off that Marvel shelf of my Iron Man, War Machine, Spider-Man was gratifying to me.
Yeah.
Like just looking at something and being like, that's done. I got one of these little blocks here done. And I don't have any of the other ones. So, you know, I was going through it because Jisk actually was like, well, you should put this one with that one. And I was like, look, it's hard to find three that fit together that kind of work.
Mm.
So, like, my plan is... those three, War Machine, Iron Man, Spider-Man for that one. The other one is going to ultimately be Captain America, Bucky, and Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Vision, Wanda, and Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so it starts getting harder.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's fine, I guess.
Yep. Black Widow.
Hawkeye.
Oh, shit. I forgot about Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Wait, who? And I don't even know if I have Black Widow there, but Thor, Black Panther, and I guess Black Widow. Then the next one is going to be Captain Marvel, Star-Lord, and Gamora.
Yeah, okay.
Another one is going to be Gort, Rocket, and Drax.
Who's that?
Gort.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I didn't know there was a figure of Gort.
I mean, he'll probably fit. We could get him in a detail.
I almost said it twice.
I think we could get him in a detail. I did say it twice.
Groot. You can see that.
Gort, you're always on his mind, man.
It's just tall and skinny. Groot, Rocket, and Drax.
Why don't you switch out Captain Marvel for Nebula?
Because I don't know if I'm getting Nebula. And it's and I like her, but I like her most in Endgame.
Yeah.
And I
me too.
Yeah, and I can't quite deal with it. I'm like Ultra Magnus, but I can't quite deal with
you don't
that
like
right
her.
Now.
You don't like her in Guardians 2?
She's okay. I like her well, and I like their relationship and their kind of their character beats in that, her and Gamora.
But... Yeah, that's why I think the three of them would be a good.
Yeah, so, it would be. I just don't know what to do with some of these.
Better than Captain Marvel, I would say.
I agree.
If you were to
I agree. Yeah. I agree. The problem is if I'm getting and who I'm getting.
You get Captain Marvel, Nick Fury, and Hill.
I don't think
Murray
I'm gonna,
Hill.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to get
the three of them would be good.
Yeah, it would be. That would be good.
Or Jude Law.
I'm not getting him, and I'm not getting Fury, and I'm not getting Maria Hill for sure. So yeah, I don't know, but it was just nice to have something done.
Yes,
you know, just like that Two-Face and Joker, and which I love that. I find that setup very gratifying. But that's like done. I'm done there, which is nice. Let's see.
Why have they made the girl?
Well, hang on. Are we doing Star Wars last?
I don't know. Have any Star Wars news?
So I have something.
Okay.
The footage leaked from the George Lucas TV show.
Oh, that's right. Underworld. Yeah, I did see that.
Oh my God, that would have been amazing, in my opinion.
Oh, really?
I think it would have been great.
Okay.
But they said it was like $20 million an episode is what it would have cost. Because it was all digital effects.
Yeah.
And it was test footage.
It was test footage, and there's some behind-the-scenes stuff. And I mean, I love the look.
The
griminess and everything. But
I was like, this acting is terrible.
Yeah. It was.
Makes sense. Star Wars.
But, it was bad by... I mean, it was
by Star Wars energy?
Yeah. I mean, it was Ewok movie level acting. Crash. But in my head, I'm like, this could have just, they could have, it's possible that they weren't even the actors, that it was just
yeah,
for the
was
sake
just,
of
it
testing.
It was just like
the,
reading, line
yeah,
reading.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Apparently it was the effects company that showed all this.
To see if it was possible.
Yeah, to see $20 million an episode.
Hey, get off that computer, come over here real quick. Read this line.
Yeah, I think I would have been interested in that story. I remember when he announced it at Celebration.
I remember that years ago, yeah.
And he had like 50 episodes planned.
That's a lot of money.
Well, the video I watched on YouTube, I think, yeah, there was like, I think it was 50 hours worth of script that's floating around out there.
It's crazy. So more of the Colin Trevorrow art has surfaced as well.
For the Not Nine?
For the Not Nine.
Not Nine, yeah.
And once again, I think that, you know, there's some cool shit in there, but I don't know if it fundamentally fixes anything that I have an issue with in regards to Nine.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't think you can just rework Nine and make everything better. Like, you needed to rework the entire thing as a whole.
Right.
Not trying to make one movie that fixes it or extend more movies to, you know, explore the plots more.
Well,
who says it has to be a trilogy anyway? Why do things have to come in three? Why can't you have four or five fucking movies?
Yeah, well, I think Nine could have done it. I just think that... Man, I think
so much stuff.
Yeah, but I think Nine was trying to fix the wrong stuff. You know, like they Nine should have focused on in my opinion, on the characters of the sequel films and tying up their stories and attaching them to the saga as a whole. But instead it was trying to fix the tears of, you know,
fans. You don't think if they were like, fuck it.
And they just pissed off the Reylos at the same time, you know, because they killed Ben. You know, like, you can't please everybody with Star Wars. You just need to just tell the story and leave it up to time to decide whether or not it's good.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if they had two movies to work with, like if they just make it a 10-movie series,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like just give it two movies and like take your time with these characters and work them out.
Take your Nine with them too. Take your time with Nine.
Yeah, that too. Like it's like so much. I feel like so much stuff rushed, loose ends, and new. We talk about all the new things that they kept introducing throughout Nine that had also to be wrapped up in Nine.
Yeah. Well, they should have just not done any of that, in my opinion. You know, like and focused more on the other shit. They had enough. I feel like they had enough story to tell without adding in all the extra.
Like Knights of Ren and the Empire, Emperor. Like they were just thrown in there at the very end.
Yep. There was something else I was going to
say. Tub of Snoke.
Tub of Snoke. But I can't remember now. Paul C. sent a question. He said, I was lucky enough to record an episode of Force Sensitive this week.
Oh, nice.
And a topic came up. Thought it'd be interesting to get everyone else's thoughts on the subject, especially as one of you has been in the industry. Episode 4. Much like with the storytelling of something like The Wire, just kind of dropped you in the middle of the story without much explanation. They gave you enough of the main story to figure out the rest of it, or at least let your imagination take it the rest of the way. This is definitely not the case anymore. Things are more over-explained to their audiences now. When do you feel this shift occurred, and why do you think it's happened? My working hypothesis is that the home viewing population has grown so much since then, and studios know that when watching at home, they must compete with other priorities. In the current world especially, they much now compete with smartphones for attention. Maybe all of the over-explaining is to try to counterbalance the much shorter attention span of the current smartphone generation, or maybe younger generations just aren't as imaginative anymore.
I think, me personally, for myself, I think people asked less questions 30 years ago or 40 years ago, whereas I always did as a child. Things like, I want to know how things work, or...
I don't know when it happened, but I think part of it is it's battling for people's attention, but I think at the same time it's like if we tell them this, they won't stop till we'll look it up. It's all there in front.
And also, we do have the internet now, so people can discuss these things. Where before, like you drop a movie, you watch it, like you're not gonna go to the fucking library or anything. And
hey, you guys, see the new Star Wars movie?
You just consume it differently.
Yeah, well, I think that so I kind of feel like people still are asking. Like I feel like. Not a whole lot, at least in 7 and 8, not a whole lot has changed. I think 9 changed the format a bit, but I think that like 7 asks tons of questions and doesn't make any attempt to answer any of them. And we, like the fan base or the viewership, started asking those questions to each other. But it's the same with 8. There's some things that I feel like in 8 that people don't talk about that it's like, man, like why aren't we exploring this more? Like that one is always gets me is that symbol that's in the floor of Luke's cave.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be the first Jedi. Like that it's like a mosaic in the floor.
Okay, yeah.
And it's supposed to be the first Jedi. And to me it looks a lot like Snoke. And Snoke has an army called the First Order. And to me, like, I was like, man, what are they doing here? Look, what are all these ingredients doing? But like, nothing. He's a tub baby. And, you know, like, I think that, like, we're still asking the questions. I just think that we're perhaps, I remember asking as a kid, like, what's the Clone Wars?
Right.
No, you know, it's just we were also okay at the end of the day with not getting the answers.
Well, episode, you know, as beloved as it is, episode one does that basically to you. You know there's a conflict, and here's these dudes.
They drop you in.
They're on this ship, and
the trade.
Yeah.
You know who Obi-Wan is, and that's it, and you're off to the races. And I think the internet was in its infancy when that movie came out. I mean, yeah, you could get on message board, but there wasn't the communities and ways to argue with people there are now. And you know, I think that to some extent lended or borrowed rather some from four from that dropping you in and away we go.
Yeah.
And I mean, even episode seven kind of did that.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just, here's this dude with this round droid and
right. And an also, old man. Like, you know, that like, you know, how did Rey get there? What happened on this planet that there's a fucking Star Destroyer just laying down on it?
Right.
You know, like,
I mean, but we can assume we because at the time 8 comes out, we know what's happened.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, babes in the woods.
Also, kind of to Paul's point, like, you know, then they make a level on Battlefield or Battlefront that explains the Battle of Jakku or whatever. So, like, I don't think that he's off base, but I do think that it's not necessarily the audience's fault that the audience is still on board. It's when they try. A lot of the times with Star Wars specifically, it's not the questions that become dissatisfying. It's the answers. You know, it's when you actually see the Clone Wars on film that you're like, oh, well, that's not really what I expected. It's when you see the Kessel Run on film that you're like, oh, well, that's not really what I expected. It's when you find out who Rey is that you're like, oh, well, that's not, you know, it's the answers that end up becoming more the problem. Snoke, who is Snoke? Where does he come from? It's like, well, no, he's a tub baby. So like, that's just far less interesting, you know, to me than what my imagination was. But I also would have been one of the ones that was okay with no explanation, you know. But I do agree with him that there are people that are like, no, we need answers. I need to know, you know, because I used to bring it up all the time, with, you know, episode six. Nobody ever said, or at least I don't know anybody that said, like, well, where's the Emperor from? We never seen him before. What's his story? You know, we just sort of accept it. Like, okay, here's this new bad guy. He's the badass of the story, and that's them the rules. You know, but I do feel like maybe, at least specifically in regards to Star Wars, and maybe I could tie Marvel a bit into this too, but the fact that the prequels did go back and answer so many questions, and now the expectation has changed that we're going to get answers. Correct. Marvel films, like, now we're going to get another film, and I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying now we're going to get another film that explains the time between Civil War and Infinity War.
The Black Widow.
Yeah, so it's like they keep giving us material to answer the question, so I think now we're becoming dependent upon it.
Well, and maybe the prequels is what changed that for, you know, the in film industry to an extent. Let's think about the movie Die Hard. Did we want to? I want to know Hans Gruber's motivations. I want to dig into his childhood and find out what makes him tick.
Right.
Total sidebar. I watched Picard episode 2.
How was it?
It was good.
Good.
It's telling an interesting story. I'm a little lost on some of it just because I'm not that big of a plugged into what's going on. Like, the Borg's involved in it now, and I'm a little confused about that whole scene, but I'm keeping up with it. It's telling a good story.
Nice.
So.
I think it's also a level of fandom thing, right? It's just that you care to know more.
You,
like,
do.
You know, like, I want to know more about, like, I feel like if someone just watched the movie and didn't want to know more, like, they didn't like it that much.
I think that's fair. I also think that maybe it's not the casual fans that are asking the questions.
And also,
maybe it is just the fans that are saying.
And also just content-wise, well, we want to make more stuff in this franchise. Well, let's start filling in gaps.
Yeah. 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 And safe.
Yeah.
You know,
and stuff going.
We already know that people love that era of Marvel. So making a film that lies in between those spaces, it's like, oh, just give them more of what they love. You know, but it's the dangerous shit is, you know, Doctor Strange. I feel like that's a dangerous movie to explore in the Marvel Universe because you're tapping into something completely different.
And different vibe, supposed
to be. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, even the first one.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and then same with Guardians. You know, it's like.
And they're both
like,
great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
90%. They're both 99%.
I think they're both fine. Like, Doctor Strange, I love the first act of it, but the rest of the movie, like the California raisin shit, like, it's all.
That's what I said, 99% of it. Both movies are great up to the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I don't know if I'm, you know, I have to get back on this shit, but. I don't know. I need to see. I want to see some stuff on the Eternals. I guess we won't probably will see any of that till SDCC, but that's what I'm kind of most curious about in regards to what Marvel's
doing. There's a different trailer for Black Widow they did play during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It had a little bit more meat to it, it looked like.
A lot of reused footage, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, that her landing on that scaffolding, that's going to be a linchpin to that marketing material.
Yeah, that's the money shot there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with Star Wars, we always call it prequel just because that's the way it came out.
No, prequel sometimes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's the way it came out in the movies. But it's not prequel per se because we started with episode 4. The scroll says episode 4.
Right, we got the sequel.
The first time you fucking watched it.
Right. Yeah. No, I hear you. I wonder.
You were always like, well, what's 1, 2, and 3?
Right.
You know?
Right.
It was never like, oh, we're going to add a prequel now.
Right. But I just wonder if psychologically always filling in the gaps is kind of like molding the fandom to expect the answers now. And now it's frustrating when you don't get them. I wonder if the abundance of material, whether it be films or comics or video games or whatever, and across franchises,
yeah,
has now kind of molded us into these like little rabid beasts of langoliers that just want to eat up all the information of all the little times, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You guys got anything else? Wrap it up?
No. Let's... Toy Fair makes for short news that coming up in a couple weeks, so
yeah, we'll
a lot of that information goes away, and you know, Chinese New Year on top of that, so
yeah, and then you know, the Chinese issues as well, yep. Both politically and biologically.
Biologically.
Did you? I don't know how true it is, but I saw a thing where, like, there was a Harvard professor that was actually like being funded by China to start a lab in Wuhan, and that's like,
oh, really?
And then they caught a couple of quote unquote students trying to go back to China, but they were actually like working on.
Well, I don't know.
I'm gonna look at that story because it seems interesting. It's very like fucking spy movie ish.
Yeah, I don't know. The I think the death count the last time I looked was like 300 and some. So like. You know, once again, perspective, like we were talking about earlier. Like, I think 450-some people. But to be fair, I checked it yesterday morning,
yeah,
and it was like 308. And I checked it yesterday evening, and it was like 360-something. So, like, it was jumping.
But it's also, like, very likely that China is underreporting stuff.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That
because
it could be
they are like that.
10 times as bad. And they're building hospitals for this. They aren't building hospitals for
in 3 weeks.
But that's only deaths. That's not
right.
Right, but the infection rate, I'm thinking it's underreported over there too.
That may be true. But it was like 360 some deaths, I think, and 458 recoveries. And that's worldwide, because there's like one report in the Philippines, and like it's getting out a bit. It's spreading its wings a taste.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's getting around.
Look forward to our biological or our virus podcast coming soon. It was called Nerd Rage, and then parentheses going viral. shout out to the rest of the Nerd Rage team: Raul on Instagram, Phil on Twitter, Dante on Facebook, as well as Manny behind the scenes, who I would like to talk to.
Oh, he's not getting back to you yet? I'm worried now.
Yeah, me too, man. Groot. Groot and Andy helped me with the Force stuff. And I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Esteban.
God. I know, I'm terrible. I talked to Esteban on the phone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so the Dummies did a video where we were talking about shameful. Shame, collector shame.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment that he was like, man, I'm kind of disheartened to hear, like, Jisk is ashamed of, you know, the collection. Like, you know, like...
It was always a little different, though, his collecting.
Agreed. So, like, Laura was like, oh, no, like, we had to talk to him, make sure he's okay. So, like, I hit him up, got his number, and Laura talked to him from off the ledge for 20 minutes or whatever. Well, you know, that's kind of customer service we use around here.
That's right.
And then, Yeah, shout out to the Cool Table. We have Shadowcast Uncut, Enter the Realm. We have Stasis Lock, and we also have Building Up to a Fresh Communications, Breaking the Mold, and Verbally Challenged.
Are the ladies still doing more?
Yeah, they're still off to the races. We'll be watching their career with great interest, and maybe if they look, I wish them the best, and I've been very encouraging of them and trying to promote them and everything else. But six people is a lot of people. And
one, as cast wise?
Yeah, six or seven people got on the cast.
Yeah, like six, seven people in SCU back in the day.
And SCU had all sorts of bumps in the road getting, you know what I mean? So, like my thing with them is, like, I wish them the best. I hope them that they do great. I think they have the potential to do great. But we need to see how many episodes we can, be successful as a team. They got to come together as a team to make it work. Like, it's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know until you know. Mm-hmm. So. I wish them the best, and they're up on iTunes now.
Nice.
So that's important because I can't watch podcasts on YouTube. I just don't have the technology to do so.
Oh yeah, because you have Apple.
Yeah, Apple.
And with that, flap your labias.
Tasty taint.
Tight dick player.